This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
David Bowie is the Australian Centre for the Movie Image, the University of Melbourne and Deakin University present
The
Bowie Symposium.
The stardom and celebrity of David Bowie.
Friday the 17th and Saturday the 18th of July, 2015.
Hashtag Bowie Symposium.
Academics, artists, stardom,
celebrity,
Bowie,
discipline,
stardom,
Bowie,
greatest
comeback,
acclaim,
desire,
love,
Bowie,
stardom,
Lady Stardust,
Bowie,
let's dance.
David Bowie.
Let's dance.
I absolutely love you.
But we're absolute beginners.
David Bowie is
Bowie. Celebrity.
Panel discussions.
Keynote presentation.
Workshops.
International.
Culture.
Screen.
Movies.
Pop culture.
Albums.
Music.
Dance.
Theatre.
Stage.
The screen.
The books.
The albums.
The music.
David Bowie.
Covers.
The creation.
Fashion.
Style.
Genius.
The genius.
The chameleon.
The many faces of David Bowie.
Style.
Bowie style.
Lightning bolt.
Jumpsuits.
Metal.
Transgressive.
Transgressive of pop.
Friday the 17th and Saturday the 18th of July, 2015.
This is Sonia for Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9. So here we are in the studio talking about something incredibly amazing that is going to be part of the Melbourne landscape very, very soon. It is called David Bowie Is, and it's an amazing exhibition, part of the winter program upcoming for ACMI, the Australian Centre for the Moving Image. And this is not just an exhibition about David Bowie, the man himself, the chameleon, the incredible creature that he is, but it is also about certain events that are happening within that scope, and one of them is a symposium. It's a 2-day symposium. It's called Bowie Symposium, the Stardom and Celebrity of David Bowie. Runs from Friday the 17th and Saturday the 18th of July of this year. And it is just loaded full of Bowie goodness. And in the studio, I'm talking to one of those people responsible who's going to be involved in the symposium. And that's Dr. Toya Chinque.
Hello, Sonia. Thanks for having me.
Welcome. Now let's get all this right. I mean, what a amazing and very educated person you are here. But you are a senior lecturer in Media and Communications in the School of Communication and Creative Arts and the Faculty of Arts and Education at Deakin University.
I am, and that's the serious part.
That's
lovely
serious.
For me that I can research something as interesting as David Bowie. What a great topic.
Cool. So basically, are you in charge of most of the media and communications there at Deakin? Or
I'm an advisor for the course, and I teach into the program. I contribute to the course content overall, and I have units that I teach at undergraduate and postgraduate levels.
Wow. Very, very busy. Very busy woman.
Very busy.
So along comes this huge concept, David Bowie Is, launching itself here in Australia. What was your initial involvement?
Wonderfully for me, David Bowie's always been a huge concept since I was quite young, through the music and the different artworks that he has had. Mm. More recently, however, through a conversation with my colleague, Dr. Sean Redmond, we were speaking of the release of the new album in 2013. And this was something that was exciting to fans of Bowie's work because he'd not released anything musically for 10 years. Mm. We were sharing our appreciation of the music. Mm. And then through that, we then did a special edition of a celebrity studies journal, and we got interest from Bloomsbury to put together an edited collection on Bowie's work. And we were finishing the book, Enchanting David Bowie, and we then were approached through ACME and Angela Ndelianis at the University of Melbourne to contribute something to this wonderful exhibition that is the ACME Winter Series exhibition on David Bowie Is.
That's incredible. I mean, we were saying off air, serendipity, certainly something's happening, synchronising.
I think so. There's certainly some magic in the air around this topic, absolutely.
Yeah, Yeah. Now, this, I'm not sure what you know about the David Bowie Is. It's been in the UK, and there's a doco that goes with it as well. So it's been an amazing journey to have it brought here, which is pretty incredible. But yeah, the book, Enchanting David Bowie. What can you tell us about what people can expect in that book?
This is our journey and our exploration circumnavigating David Bowie's work across not just music, but also his fashion, the way he represents himself, the way he transgresses certain ideas about gender and sanity and what it means to be a man or a woman, but also how he has done that through film, for example, and other creative works, his own creative works through art. We have some great contributors to that work, again, academic contributors. We found Sean, myself, and our co-editor, Dr. Chris Moore, who's now at the University of Wollongong, that there was little scholarly attention paid to this person who we regard as as a star. He's endured over time in his creative work, and we wanted to look at that work as a way to consider, what does it present to us individually? How do we make sense of ourselves as a society through the media that we are exposed to? And we felt that he was a great vehicle for exploring that.
Yeah, because he's been around for so long, like most of us know.
Yeah, decades.
And I don't think anyone does not know the name David Bowie.
It they brings up a representation in the mind to most people,
It does, doesn't it? And the thing is, so you're saying no one's ever taken it quite this way, the way that you're analysing, I guess. We see a lot of books and unauthorised biographies and so on, and authorised ones and all that. It's usually about the lifestyle, being on the road, just the music itself, but not necessarily the cultural impact that that music can have or that person. I mean, he's more than just music.
That's right. He is just more than music. He can be seen, or his work can offer an ideology, for example, a way of exploring one's identity. And indeed, his music goes across time. So we explore through the book different ideas of Bowie through time, and also through space. So thinking about his music in space and the lack thereof, and also through ideas of memory. And so there is the idea of nostalgia there of Bowie. And what my co-editors Sean and Chris and I did, we asked the contributors to think about what Bowie meant to them. And when we approached them about the project, what was it about Bowie that was important, significant to them? So in each of the introductions, the authors are putting forward their personal reflection on Bowie. So we've got some ethnographic study onto the and providing insight into what brought them to the topic of Bowie, and then their critical review of a particular aspect of his work.
And what is intriguing about the man and the mystery of him, what has created this creature, basically, is the different hats, the different parts of his life that have, you know, been so contrasted with each of them, each of those parts, each era. You know, I mean, we had the 60s Bowie, the long hair, the hippie, sort of clumsily trying to find his way. And then we've got Hunky Dory. And then, well, of course, before that, Space Oddity re-released. I mean, how many times has that been released, that song? Probably more than I can imagine. But it was, what, produced once and then didn't do so well. And then when it came out after the moon landing and so on, later in the 70s, just a huge, huge hit. And then we see him going through the Ziggy Stardust, or obviously before that, Led Insane. There's been so many different hats. There's Berlin Times. It's like the book covers all of that.
It does. It critically explores that, and that's not in a bad way. But what does this mean? What does this contribute? What is a sense of authenticity within a star? And you mentioned the long hair hippie time, where Bowie was writing songs that reflected his life personally, to the latter stages where he adopted a personality and how he explored identity through adopting a different personality that was separate.
And
arguably killed them off and reinvented himself. And that's why he's been labelled as chameleon. My own chapter considers whether or not the underlying David Jones has always been the same. Not so much a chameleon, but using his artwork to explore the world around him. And he says, Bowie says himself, that art should be for everyone and accessible to everyone, because it demonstrates, you know, who we are, helps us to understand what it means to be human and alive, calling forth Nietzsche, perhaps, and to critically dissect ourselves. Yeah. So we would argue that there's so much to his work that helps people critically consider themselves.
It does. This is extraordinary. And I mean, for us, for the LGBTIQ community, he has played such an enormous part that I think maybe sometimes we forget. You know, we all turn and look at the Andy Warhols and perhaps the John Waters in the more recent decades, but Bowie has also been consistently there. I don't know how open he is about his own personal sexuality. He's made announcements way back in the 70s and stuff's happened, whatever. But yeah, it's quite an integral part of who he is, the sexual spectrum which he displays. And certainly however he likes, you know.
Exploring the social understanding of sexuality and conventions at a particular time. When he did start wearing his dress, his man dress, and his wife had short cropped hair, it was confronting to society that was emerging from a particularly conservative time in Britain. And this was a way of saying, well, what does it mean to be a man or a woman? And what does it mean if I'm a man with long hair pushing a pram with my child in it and my wife has got short cropped hair? We take that for granted now. We're so used to seeing that, and it's...
We go, it's Brunswick.
Exactly, exactly. That's just normal, that's just life. And, you know, in politics, we're looking for, you know, equality in marriage, whatever marriage you might conceive that to be. And that is such a huge step from 40 years ago. But at the time, a simple donning of a dress was so controversial. But it helped people think, actually, he's still a man, or is he? And what does it mean for me? How do I understand myself? So Bowie has represented the outsider or the alien.
The alien,
another. So that it has been a way of saying, well, what if I don't feel the norm? How can I explore something else?
Yeah.
And he was a vehicle. And he's recognised and he has said himself, I am a vehicle for others to explore the world around themselves and they can use me. I'm nothing more than a photocopier, if you like. I take ideas and I present it back to society.
Yeah, no, he does that every time and it's always surprising. It's surprising every time, even though there's a decade between every album. The one, as you mentioned, the next day was sort of like a post-it note over what was his Berlin phase. And you think to yourself, you know, the famous photo, of course.
Heroes 1977.
Yes, that's the one. And you think, wow, he's just got it. All that's missing is a selfie stick somewhere, you know, but maybe that's next. We just don't know. It's always like a wonderful surprise for him. Sometimes I've been away from the Bowie for a while. In the last 5 years, I've come back. I think everyone has a bit of a story like that, where they go, I don't know anymore if he speaks to me, and then maybe don't listen for a decade, and then something happens, and it's like revisiting a mysterious parent or an eccentric uncle comes to visit.
Anecdotally, yeah, many people say that they would dip into the career or he was significant at a particular point. Nick Stevenson's work on fans has found that people say at a particular time when I'm maybe looking for strength or something to emulate, I turn to Bowie's work. It is comfort. And if you say a parent, for example, can offer that psychically, then you can say this might provide that for some people. For others, it's the challenge of the music and where we talk about the gender transgression of the late 60s going into the 70s. We can also think about the mid 70s, late 70s as a time for exploring what is music. How do you put it together? How does it have to sonically resonate with an audience member for this to be considered good, bad, indifferent? And then drawing in latterly Warhol's idea, Andy Warhol's ideas on pop art that, you know, good art sells.
Accessible. Accessibility.
Yes, exactly right. Exactly
and he
right.
was. I mean, my favourite period would have to be the Hansa period, of course, when he goes to Berlin. It's maybe the darkest period, some say. It's the hardest period for him in his personal life, it seems. But it's most thrilling for me, sonically and audio-wise, because of his collaboration with the fabulous Brian Eno. And I would love, personally, I'd love to see a biopic about those two at the Berlin Wall in the late 70s. I just love something like that to happen. What's your favourite? Do you have a favourite era yourself?
Absolutely. The Berlin trilogy was it for me. It was challenging. And while we might speak about how Bowie offers a medium for people to explore identity, it was also a way to explore music. And a number of artists now will say that Bowie was an influence at some point. He was an influence. And Bowie recognises the influences on him, Kraftwerk, for example, and working with Eno and latterly with Phil Glass. For example, so how to explore music and traditions is interesting. But yeah, definitely the 70s were a high point.
I just love that. But he also had a sense of where he was politically, what was going on. And when you hear those stories and the very DIY ethos as well in the studios there and the guards looking at them from across the wall line there, it's pretty amazing.
And also exploring with musical techniques as well.
Oh, yeah.
You know, working with Tony Visconti and how they use microphones, you know, to get depth. And toward the end of Heroes, we had Bowie was screaming at the microphone to get this sound, to get this resonance, to get something different. And just linking in, we've got at the Bowie Is exhibition to open the David Bowie Is and the symposium, we've got a tenor, a lyric tenor, Marco Tricinque, who's going to sing Heroes. but in a different way, and with a composer, David Cram. Dr. David Cram is going to be accompanying him. So taking a different spin on his own performance. And so that's going to be something throughout the symposium that we'd like to start each day with something creative, musically or sonically or visually challenging.
Yeah. Who would have thought this lad, you know, would this would happen? I wonder if he ever kicks himself. I suppose. I wonder if he does. And if he does it in platforms, if he kicks himself. But let's look at the, I mean, I don't want to rave too much, but let's look at the actual symposium and your involvement there. And, well, briefly what you can tell us about what people can expect. Starts on the 17th, pretty early in the morning. It's 8:30 a.m.
Yep.
That's a big day, all the way to 6 p.m.
Yes. In conference circles, it's not so bad. We do feed people.
You let people out.
And people can go. They're not bound.
You water them or like cattle.
Indeed. Thing is that with the symposium, there is a flow where a program is provided and there might be a particular panel that people are interested in, and you might go to one, have a break, come for lunch, go back to something else in the afternoon. Certainly delegates are not bound to go for the full day, but most will be drawn in, I'm sure, by the different aspects of what's
on
offer.
It's like binging.
It's
better than binging your favourite TV show, that's for sure.
A pilgrimage for fans.
I know. There will be so it's going to be like a sacred site, I think, during
this period. For a
number,
I imagine that it would be, yes.
For a number of a couple of months, in any case. Now, I'm just going to jump to day two. We've got Saturday the 18th of July. You're involved in the 10 a.m. session there. It's Loving the Alien, Bowie's Gender Transgressions. What can you tell us about what will be expected there?
The academics will be critically reviewing Bowie's work and what it means to be alien. And, of course, this is not just little green men from out of space, but what it means to be different, to perhaps sit on a periphery, to consider urban versus rural space, for example, and also what it means to transgress social norms. My own work looks at the use of celebrity and how fans consider Bowie's work.
Okay. And do you mean like how a fan might dress like Bowie or that type of thing? Or do we have fans living?
No, it's more. No, what I'm going to do is use social media. I love statistics, and I'm going to do a data analysis on what conversation there is about Bowie digitally related to this conference and this moment in time.
That'll be fascinating and instant and right there.
Immediate,
that's the word. Yes, so alien, the word comes up a lot, and it even comes up again and again in his work throughout the years. I mean, not considered one of his greatest albums, but Loving the Alien from the 80s. Not the highlight of his time, I suppose, for some critics, but I actually did like that album. Yeah, there's some opuses in there, and of course, Loving the Alien theme as well, which resonates probably more after a post-September 11 time than ever. So this is the sort of things that happen, I think, when you follow the Bowie. And you'll be looking at, of course, Dietrich Hepburn, Bacall, significantly, their identity, I guess. They're quite transgressive icons from the past, from Hollywood and from the media, and he certainly brings up those ideas too.
Calls the images to mind, calls, you know, social understandings to mind of what it does mean, you know, to be man or woman. So it's going to be interesting and challenging and fascinating.
Yes. And then you've got the book launch.
We do.
What date is that? Is that the same day? Is that the 18th? Have I got that right?
Yes, on the 18th.
It is the 18th.
Yes.
Wow. It's a pity Sean isn't here. That's okay. So there's the three of you. There's you, Christopher Moore, and Sean with this amazing book, Serendipity. It's incredible.
Indeed. It just happened to be available and in print and ready for the symposium.
Wow.
We couldn't have planned it better, and we didn't. Planet, it just all fell.
So when people
together.
Open it, will glitter come
That's
pouring
out?
That's
a great out? Idea. I'm going to do that personally. Explode. I will do that personally.
Because that should get
That's
them.
That's awesome. That's wonderful.
So we've got Rebel, a Bowie at the margins. Again, it's all about periphery, being there on that fence. And well, he's not really on the fence, I suppose. He's pushing those fences down, really. That's what he's been doing all his life.
Yeah, very much so. And providing a way for others to do the same, to follow suit. Sean's work is an ethnographic study of what Bowie meant in his life and how he, as a lonely teen, could use the work of Bowie to imagine something different for himself and indeed become something different that he might not otherwise have been.
So as you guys are teachers, basically, aren't you? You call yourself teachers, or how do we
Probably researchers share our findings. Okay. Yeah, our findings.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Researchers that share their findings. Yeah. This is interesting. That did you know that Sean, I mean, you work as a colleague, did you have any idea that he was a Bowie person?
No idea. Nope. We were in a meeting and we were talking about the album, and interesting talk about Nick Cave was coming to town, one of his early trips.
Right.
And talking about that and getting into Bowie, and then it all just led to a conversation about the new album and our shared appreciation over a long, long time. And Sean invited me to work on a collaboration for Celebrity Studies Journal, and then we worked on that, and that was really successful. Bloomsbury wanted to have something more. We pitched it to them as a scholarly editor work. There have, of course, been a number of scholarly works on Bowie. Nick Stevenson's 2006 work and David Buckley did a great overview of Bowie's career. But to that point, there wasn't a lot of critical scholarly attention provided to his work, not focusing just on him, but what his work contributes to a sense of individuality to fans, for example, what it might afford fans and as part of our broader cultural studies.
Mm. Oh, it's amazing how he has affected so many people.
Indeed.
I wonder if, you have a background in statistics, or if it's your interest.
Yes. Yes. I have a psychology, media studies.
Wow. Yep. He needs to know about this. I hope he gets a copy of the book himself. Okay. And then, of course, there's a lot of the films that are coming up too during the whole David Bowie's exhibition and so on. And there's going to be some of the wonderful ones there, of course. I'm hoping that they have The Man Who Fell to Earth and all the other ones, you know, the ones that touch on his difference and the outsider. And
The Hunger, for example, and The Man Who Fell to Earth is another great one. And indeed, at the moment, Bowie's working on a stage production that is derivative of The Man Who Fell to Earth called Lazarus. So we'll have one of our speakers who'll be touching on that in conversation at the symposium as well. So as well as the academic consideration of his work, there will be musical performances and interpretation of his work. Mm. There'll be creative works such as a Duffy-inspired photo shoot where people can have their face made up and photos taken, photo booth style. And we've got a great Melbourne artist, Jamie O'Connell, who's going to be recording and providing a data visualisation of auctions of Bowie's memorabilia around the world and recording. He's created his own algorithm to capture this data. So whenever anything is sold around the world, he's going to be capturing it and doing a data visualisation. I know. Pretty exciting stuff.
This is just too much. I'm just going to melt. That's great. Oh, there is so much. And, of course, The Artist Labyrinth, that one there, Tanya Stark, that should be amazing.
Tanya's a brilliant artist.
Just She's incredible.
Got some great ideas on how she explores this idea of the labyrinth. And I think that for a number of us, it takes us into our own labyrinth, our own drawing into an inner labyrinth and trying to work out, you know, what certain signs and symbols mean for us. So it's definitely a journey, and Tanya's artistic inspired work is going to be challenging and inspiring as well.
Cool, excellent. Well, I hope people will be recording all this, and I'm sure that there will be a lot of data being transferred and connected, and people will connect. I think it's going to be marvellous.
I'm sure they'll hear it.
Yes. Oh, awesome. Well, look, thank you so much for speaking to us and giving us a nice overview of what is happening, and also about the symposium, which is going to be fascinating. And that's the Stardom and Celebrity of David Bowie, the Bowie Symposium, Friday the 17th and Saturday the 18th of July of this year, of course, as part of David Bowie Is. It includes your book launch there, Toya, which is Enchanting David Bowie, you and Sean, and Christopher, isn't it? Christopher Moore. So, yeah. Congratulations. Are you excited? I mean,
it's overwhelming.
It doesn't happen every day.
It's very exciting. Yep. Have to get the hair done. Thank you.
Oh, really? Right? Oh, cool. Okay. So many styles. What about the 80s style?
Indeed.
The padded shoulders, the Let's Dance, you know, the red dress.
We did want to have a flash mob for Let's Dance and get everyone out with red shoes. We still might do that. We'll send around a Twitter feed at some point.
I can't remember. What's the scene in the video where, what's he pulling? The young man is pulling
a heavy piece of machinery.
It's a piece of machinery.
Up a street.
That was an amazing video. I just have to add, that video, I saw it as a kid. I was like, wow. I knew very little about Australia from New Zealand. And I saw that and I went, what is going on there? Does anyone know why he did that? Made that amazing video? I mean, do we know? Has he ever discussed it.
It's a critical take on the situation in Australia and the differences between Aboriginal Australians and white Australians, and I guess a post-colonial past that we've got. And it was his way of exploring that.
Yeah.
And it's terrific because, as you say, you know, you see this machinery in the street and it stops you. And as some of his lyrics say, the wrong words or the wrong image make you stop and listen. Hang on, that's not right. That jars me out of my normal
everyday.
Because
you don't think of that song. Because I think I heard the song before I saw the video. You don't think of that song, those lyrics to go with that image.
Incongruous, isn't it? It's lovely.
But it's the smartest thing I've ever seen.
Exactly. The danceable political commentary on the state of Australia at the time.
It caused a real stir, didn't it? It caused a big stir, that one.
Yeah.
But I love it. And it's probably one of my, actually, it's probably one of my standalone favourite songs for that era, in any case.
Yes. Mm.
Do you have one that you say, right, that's the song? That's the Bowie song always love.
Too many, because different eras, it's different things. Certainly 80s, you know, the big shoulder pads. But Let's Dance, a great album. You know, China Girl, lovely. That song that he co-wrote with Iggy Pop has got a tension and an angst in it that I love. The 70s, of course, and Ziggy Stardust. The alien that was so different at the time, looking directly at the camera, and every person thought, hey, David's looking at me. He knows my plight. Mm. He knows where
China
I am.
China Girl is awesome, isn't it? I worked years later with Ji Ling Ni.
Did you?
She's in it. She's a New Zealand actress. Yes, so that was an incredible one too. We need more of that.
We do.
We need more Bowie-isms.
Yes.
In our lives and our pop culture. All right, thank you so much.
Thanks,
Dr. Toya Chinkwe, thank you for coming and speaking to us all the way from Deakin University and talking to us about the Bowie Symposium for David Bowie Is. This is Sonia on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to the special podcast about David Bowie.
Held only in Melbourne until November 1st, 2015. We hope you enjoyed this. We'll have more podcasts to come.
Thank you for listening to the special David Bowie presentation by Joy 94.9.
Interviews helmed by Sonia Hammer from Sci-Fi and Squeam and Queer Geeks of Oz and Geek Girls Speak and Emily Dwyer and Patrick Whalen-Smith from Joy 94.9 and Lauren Stardust herself. Interviews by Lauren Stardust and Sonia Hammer for Joy 94.9. Enjoy this podcast.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.